There was one man called Tim Clegg, another man called Danny Stack. Together, they are known as UK Scriptwriters Podcast.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant. What a great intro. What a great intro. So, yeah.
That was ad-libbed, by the way.
I'm Tim Clegg. This is Danny Stack.
Hello there.
And today we're joined by a third spoke in the wheel, as what I'd have called him, who's Johnny Griffiths, who's going to give us... Johnny, just tell us quickly, very quickly, about yourself.
Come in close to the mic.
Okay. Well, my name's Johnny Griffith. Currently a screenwriter. I would use the word aspiring, but that's frowned upon mostly, isn't it now? So yeah, I'm just testing out the water with a few scripts. Just graduated from Bournemouth University scriptwriting, and just trying to get into the industry currently.
Tim phoned him outside and come on in.
Johnny, myself and Johnny were having a meeting about a production meeting about a script. So I said, hang around and you can give us the perspective of someone just, you know, at the start of his career, as we look at some of the topics that we're going to cover today.
Yeah.
So we're going to crack on straight away. Before I do so, let's just wrap up a little bit about what we're doing. We do the podcast once a month. We talk about script writing in the UK,
yeah,
although a lot of the time it can apply to you wherever you are in the world, because writing's writing.
This is episode 16 now, I think.
It is
like
indeed.
That.
And if you have any questions, then fire them across to us at ukscriptwriters@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
And we will, you know, cover those every now and again. And it just helps us steer it in the right direction. Now, first thing we want to talk about today is...
Screenwriting news.
Screenwriting news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe Johnny should be doing that now.
Is the Red Planet. Which...
Well, update on Red Planet Prize.
Yeah.
Which opened its doors last month for submissions. If you're listening to the last podcast or checking stuff out online, you will know that the competition is now open. So we've had a few hundred entries already. Eager beavers.
That's good.
Sending in their first 10 pages.
Yeah.
So reading has started.
Yeah.
And the deadline is still January the 16th. 2012.
And for your first 10.
I think by the end of February, or around then, I think, we'll be asking for the full scripts. So you still got a little bit of time to write the full script.
Good.
So yeah, that's a quick Red Planet Prize update. People are sending it in, which is fine. Reading has started, and it's all very exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
Entering, Johnny?
Yes, I am. Currently good. Just started writing it.
All right, good.
Do you need to send an outline in as well?
You send a 16-word log line.
Ooh.
Mm, yeah, 16 hard. Words, which is cool. And yeah. Just a quick paragraph, I think a 100-word paragraph synopsis.
Right.
Which could be of the episode or of the series itself, whatever you think is best. So now's the time to crack on with your first 10 pages, or if you've got an idea, or if you've got something already written and you want to smarten it up. Because it's free to enter, nothing to lose.
Everything to gain.
Get in there. We'll probably do a special maybe for the next podcast. Talking about pilots or...
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
We did cover first 10 pages before
but we could look at
revisit.
The pilot. Yeah, maybe is
pilot
an idea.
Episode, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for that, Danny. Now, one of the other things that we're just talking about before we turn the microphone on is the writer's perception in the industry.
Yeah.
Why has that rattled your cage, Danny?
Well, recently, or actually not so recently, a couple of years ago, I got quite annoyed at the BAFTA award ceremonies, both on the TV and the film award ceremonies, how in the film section, on the night when it was on TV, it was split between BBC Two and BBC One, and the Writers Award was just on BBC Two right at the end as a very kind of quick summary, and was kind of excluded from the main BBC One bit. That kind of annoyed me a little, but no big deal, really. But then in the TV awards, the writer is relegated to the crafts section, which is not televised. Which again is you know, might sound churlish to some, but whatever. I think the writer should be front and centre and shown to everybody, not just the industry, how important they are into the creative process. So I actually wrote to BAFTA a couple of years ago now. It was December 2009. And I complained to them, very politely though. I was just, look, this is what I think. And they were very quick to reply and said, well, you know, we disagree and we like to celebrate writers wherever we can. And that was fine. There was a little bit of kind of media kerfuffle around it. And it became a topic, and the Writers Guild of Great Britain have been campaigning BAFTA to kind of get better writer recognition. But then a couple of weeks ago, our good writing friend James Moran, writer of Severance and Doctor Who and the like.
Of course.
He wrote an article for Broadcast, which was complaining pretty much about the same thing as I was, which was...
Just to fill in there, Broadcast is like the TV weekly trade
Broadcast
paper.
Magazine, yeah. So he was saying that BAFTA, instead of adding new TV categories, like Best Reality Show or Best Performance from a Reality Person or whatever it is, why can't you add Best Writer for Comedy or Best Writer for Drama or whatever? Because one of the responses to us was, we can't, there's no more room for categories in the TV section. And then all of a sudden they added three or four, which were just mindless rubbish. But they have conceded that it's all to do with glamour and what the audience want to see. But we're like, well, you know, it's kind of dismissing the writer, and we don't want to sound kind of like pedantic or miserable about it, but we just feel passionate about it. But it just brought up a wider discussion before we turned it on.
Yeah, I mean, because I did the same about a couple of years ago when I wrote to Apple, which seems like not the people to write to. But if you go to like iTunes or the Apple trailers, what you see on there is it's got the director and who's in it, but it doesn't have the writer. It's just a little bit of text down the side. So I wrote to them and they did reply with the fact that it's the, you know, they were blaming the fact that the studios don't include that. They don't see that as a reason why people might choose a film because of who it's written by.
It becomes a marketing thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Now, this is all boils up to me into one issue, which is that that's a cycle that has to be broken. No one knows the writer, so no one's going to chase down the writer. Do you see what I'm saying? If you don't know who the writer ever was, how can you look out for their name again? And this was what it used to be like in the 1910s with actors. No one knew who the biograph girl was. No one knew her name. And because it wasn't deemed important. The actor's just whatever, isn't it? And then, of course, actors took on a little bit of gumption, got a bit of gumption about themselves and started, like, you know, portraying themselves out and making sure that people knew who they were and what they were about. Yeah. And I think as writers, we're a bit rubbish at that. We're not that interesting sometimes. It's partly our own fault. If someone interviews a writer, the writer talks about writing, which I know sounds obvious, but actors don't talk about acting. They talk about any old thing that's going on. But they do it in an interesting way. And directors do as well. They're kind of characters. Right, we should be characters. Yeah. I don't know why we just kind of a bit shy about it. And some writers are. That's why I became a writer, they say, because I don't have to be in front of the camera. You know, I like telling the story from behind, but you can't have it both ways, can you?
Yeah.
And I think if you've got a charismatic, interesting writer that bounds on stage at the BAFTA, do you know what I mean? And kind of like grabs it, does a comedy story about it, gets off again. You know what I mean? That's what actors do.
Well, we
just meekly go on and thank our agent and come off again.
Generally, yeah, generally.
What's that about?
We do have a couple of people who are quite good at what you describe. For example, Stephen Moffat, I think, is pretty good at that. Because he's passionate, he's charismatic.
Yeah.
And he's very much, I am a writer. I'm not an exec producer, which he is, but he gets to go on because he's exec producer.
Yeah.
And Russell T. Davies is good like that. They're funny, they're charming.
Indeed. And they've done well for themselves.
And they've done well.
So, do you know what I mean?
But that raises writers' visibility with the wider audience, which is great. But not many people, writers included, could name six or more famous writers, TV or film.
No.
And who was it? You might know, Tim. Some Hollywood mogul from the 30s or 40s said, and I'm paraphrasing here, the most important people in Hollywood are the writers. We've just got to make sure they never find out.
Yeah. That's right. We've got loads of those sort of quotes.
Yeah.
In some cases, we like those sort of quotes. And we like the joke. We like the joke about the starlet, the blonde starlet that was so stupid she slept with the writer.
Yeah.
You know, we like all that in a way.
Let's remember that one.
Yeah. Watch out, you know. But at the same time, we kind of bemoan our position, and we can't have it both ways.
Well, Johnny introduced himself as almost like an aspiring writer. at the beginning. And that's when that's where it can become tricky if you're out, say, in a club or a pub or something, trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
I'm a screenwriter. And it's like, well, really, that sounds interesting, but
yeah.
what would I have seen? And if you like say nothing so far, it's just like, well, do you know any directors, I suppose?
Yeah.
But if, that's you, if you've written
I
for
guess it takes
something,
away, like, because, you know, a lot of writers are not that arrogant, are they? Or they kind of will say, oh, I'm trying this out, seeing how that works. They're not like, I'm definitely a writer, just in case. That's committing maybe too much to it, because just in case they fail, maybe.
But
that could be what it is.
It's interesting. I mean, look, because I've written for EastEnders, so people have said to me, so what do you do? So I say, I'm a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Oh, what have you written? Would I have seen anything?
Yeah.
EastEnders is the go-to one. Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody, no matter what they think of EastEnders, their eyes light up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Even if they hate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, that's really interesting, whatever. You can see they want to speak to you then.
Yeah.
Rather than moving on to the next person.
No, but that is sort of what I mean. Because people are interested in the story.
Yeah.
They are. But yet somehow we're not capitalising on that. We're not owning that in kind of press interviews or press junkets. The writer's hardly ever there. And do you know why they're hardly ever there? Because when they do show up, they normally just stuff it up and they're just boring.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, let's be talking about the stories of what happened. Let's talk about the famous lines that we've written. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, everyone says, show me the money, or you're so money, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wrote that. You all say it, because I thought of it, and I wrote it. And let me tell you about some of the other funny things that have happened, or some of the other things.
Something
Why
like
not
that,
just do that?
Well, it becomes apocryphal as well, because actors will claim credit for something that they think they've written or improvised.
Why not?
When actually it's been in the script
Why not?
All along.
Why not, though? Because there's a massive vacuum. So it's just they're just filling that vacuum of people wanting to know about who came up with this stuff.
Exactly.
If unless you're there saying no, you didn't, and you know what, you didn't do your own bloody stunts neither.
Yeah.
You know, the people are just going to get away with taking credit that isn't theirs because there's no one on the opposite side. And the point is, the only reason that you're going to get on television is because you're an interesting person with things to say. Now, if you're a writer and you're not an interesting person, you haven't got anything to say. You shouldn't be a writer. So it's almost like, let's just get a bit of gumption behind ourselves and take every opportunity to say, yeah, I'm a writer, I've worked on these things, I've written these funny lines, you love them, I wrote them, let's have a few more.
But
even
when you're talking to other people, just show them how interesting and exciting and passionate you are as a writer and what it means.
Yeah.
And debunk some myths and and that you don't just do the dialogue, that you actually come up with quite a lot.
Yeah.
Film critics, you've got to start referring to the screenwriter and not just for the dialogue.
Yeah.
And only if you've read the script, preferably.
Yeah.
Because too many people are just, you know, if they don't like something, they'll just poo the script.
Yeah.
And they might. I only know of one critic who actually reads scripts because he's referred to it a few times in terms of, like, I'm reading this now at the moment.
Yeah.
But most people don't. And I wonder what they mean when they say the script was poor, if it's not referring to the dialogue.
Yeah.
Because they're clearly not blaming the director.
No.
For poor plotting or whatever.
Yeah.
But they will praise him if the film is a success or entertaining.
Yeah.
And I saw the director of Drive and Carey Mulligan being interviewed on BBC Breakfast once. And the script came up and both of them kind of looked at each other. And it was a weird kind of moment. And they said, well, yeah, we actually just sat down, me, Ryan, and the director, and we took out all the dialogue and we kind of came up with this. And it just made out as if they had just were just so superior to the screenwriter. Maybe that was just my inference of it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that's so way out of line. It's so disrespectful. The writer has given you the structure, the characters, the tone, the mood. The director has visually put it up there, which is fantastic. But, you know, in that one instance, the screenwriter was reduced to just that, like, a hired hack.
Well, that's where you end up in the craft section.
Yeah, and Hossein Amini, who wrote it, he's, like, an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And Drive is an amazing kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, if you examine the structure of Drive, it's really good.
But you're not going to get on Breakfast TV to shout your corner if you are not a personality.
Well,
In the modern
like
rubbish.
Stephen Fry.
Like Stephen Fry.
Yeah. He's an all-rounder, isn't he?
He's an all-rounder, but I'm saying you can be as interesting as that. You can wear a funny hat.
Yeah, yeah.
You can wear a bow tie. You can do whatever it takes to make yourself seem a bit odd.
Well, don't become a comedy caricature.
Oh, but you know what I'm saying.
At a very base example, what we're doing now is just like we're showing that we have passion and we have interest and we have a personality. We have... our own distinctive voice.
And a corner to fight. And, you know... And
so we care about it. That's why we're saying... That's why we're bringing it up in the screenwriting news.
Yes.
You can contact BAFTA yourself. If you agree or if you know what we're talking about, you can simply go to BAFTA.org.
Yeah.
And they have a contact us kind of web page.
Yeah.
You can just say, "Oi, BAFTA, no." Maybe put it a bit more polite than that. And just kind of raise the issue. And the more people who know about writing and what a writer does and how it should be celebrated, you know, no script, no story, no story, no film, no TV.
Yeah.
Something that I can't remember who said it. It may have been McKeesh, whisper it. I think he said writers are the only original creative force on a project.
Mm.
The rest are all interpretive.
Yeah.
Because they're interpreting the writer's script.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you tell people.
That's it. Yeah.
But
that's good.
But they're not.
I'll remember that.
It's good, isn't it? I think it was McKee.
We'll remember that. It sounds like his way that he would speak anyway. So I'll be confident.
Yeah,
it sounds like
even if a writer is commissioned or hired, he's still going away. He's writing the original content.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And the rest are just coming on like costume, going, "Well, what about this kind of clothes here?"
Yeah, but they're going back to the script to talk about. They're not going to dress go off. What about an astronaut suit? Well, hang on a minute, it's a 1930s period. What are you talking about? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Everything you're going back to say, what would this actor,
unless,
what this character be like?
The exceptions being big blockbusters like Mission Impossible 4 or the James Bond things where they go, right, we're doing a sequence on the Thames River where the London Eye collapses and he rides the pod.
Yeah.
And they don't even have a script. No, they know they're doing that.
Yeah, you're joining the dots at that point.
To get
aren't
the Aston Martin in there.
Yeah.
Because famously, the sequel for Men in Black 3, that just went through.
Yeah.
Three ring circus.
Yeah, but this is a film that started shooting before the script was finished.
Exactly.
I mean, what's that about?
But that's Hollywood.
That's nutty talk. Right. That's enough of that. But we don't want to make that a moan. Remember, there's something you can do.
Just be passionate.
Be more interesting. Be more passionate. Get in touch with those that don't respect writers, as we have done.
Yeah.
And just keep, you know, chipping in and saying, you know, "Dear Jonathan Ross Show, it'd be nice to interview some writers instead of just actors." Right. Last thing we want to talk about today is almost something. It's been on our mind for a while to mention. We've had a few messages about it. Which is to talk about work
and
in a very pragmatic way, your routine,
productivity,
keeping going, that kind of thing. We've tackled it before in a way. We covered the writer's block a little while ago. Might be related, but I'm not really sure. But there's a lot of people that seem to be sort of doing a lot of work but not getting very far, and other people that aren't doing anything or whatever. It's hard to put yourself in a category. It's easy to put someone else in a category with this. Mm. It's hard to look at yourself quite often and say, where am I struggling with? So we're just going to throw out some things and you might recognise some traits more than character types.
As we all know, with writing especially, you know, there's a big passionate urge to write, but as soon as you sit down, things get in the way.
Yeah.
And you kind of put it off or procrastinate or just feel bad about yourself and you end up doing nothing. And you've wasted a day, possibly a week, possibly a few months. So we just thought it might be interesting to talk about good ways just to maintain productivity or to start a routine that suits you, because it's all different.
Yeah.
Johnny,
these are just ideas.
But Johnny, as you're here, because you're a recent screenwriting graduate.
Yeah.
And it's like you're now into the big bad world and everything's up to you now. And I know you're
scary.
I know you're doing as much work as possible in terms of production and stuff, which is really great, I think. But in terms of writing, how do you find maintaining productivity or establishing routine or whatever?
At the moment, I'm trying to search for a routine to get involved with, really. Because I haven't written for a while now. But now I've got this Red Planet deadline. That gives me something to work towards.
Deadlines are always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I often find I'll write something and I'll spend a couple of weeks just straight working on it. and I probably won't touch it for a while, and I'll just maybe do a few outlines. Following my time spent writing characters and just looking at different things that way, and maybe collaborating with other people.
Yeah, collaboration and deadlines, two good ones.
Do you find though that in some ways you try and put off starting? Because I used to do that. Yeah. I almost like you doing anything except for starting, because once you've started, it's the hard work begins properly. Mm. So like, you do your characters, you do your treatments or whatever.
Research as much as possible.
And all this,
yeah.
Because it's almost like you still don't want to start. Then sometimes, of course, it's best just to start.
Mm.
But just to get that hurdle out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember like what Joe Cornish said? He said he'll do as much research as possible till he's got it all in his head till
it explodes.
You can't not write.
Which I think that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
But you know, with writers' interviews that you might hear, even when the one with Jack Thorne last month, and Jack gave us his writing routine, which sounds...
Seems like slogging away at it.
Just awesome. And you just think, oh my God, I'm such a twat, I should be doing that much as well.
Yeah.
And I think the thing to tell yourself is everybody's routine is different.
Yeah.
So don't beat yourself over it at all. Find the routine that suits you. Deadline, even if it's a deadline with a friend, just give me a deadline, please. You know, so you have to write something. Collaboration, that's a good one. I like that one.
But then the time of day
that suits you.
I think it's a half day thing.
Morning,
afternoon. I'm the opposite of Jack Thorne. Right? Jack Thorne's position is he's not spending any time looking for work particularly. It's coming his way.
Yeah.
Because of his reputation.
It is now. It's paid off.
His reputation, yeah. I'm different and I'm doing other things. So what I've found to work for me, and I'll share this, see if other people want to pick it up, half days. So half day of writing, it doesn't feel quite enough. So when you get to the end, you're like, you still got a bit of energy left for the writing. You could do a little bit more, but what a great place to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're stopping when you're feeling you've still got more to give. So when you come back the next day, you're fresh for it still. Your tank's not empty of writing petrol. That sounds so sort of quaint when I said, I wanted to say gas, writing gas. Then I thought, hang on.
Going Hollywood. I don't want to go
with American on it. Gas, this is a UK script writers podcast. Anyway, you get the analogy. Whereas actually, if I try and do a full day, I will get to about 3:30 anyway, and it starts to all dry up, and then I get a bit demoralised. Whereas if I'd have just stopped at one, I'm still totally up for doing it. I feel I could do a little bit more. However, when I've sort of gone, I'll push on through, it's tended to drop off quite quick.
Yeah.
Change is as good as a rest or whatever. Do something different in the afternoon, whatever that could be. If you're just a writer, as in only a writer, that's all you do, you're not interested in producing or directing or any of those other things. Then, of course, in the afternoon, you can do like getting in touch with people, rewrites, you could write a treatment or some other form of writing, and you're not taking away that creative gas.
Yeah.
petrol.
Yeah, the petrol. Mm. And that sort of works for me. It's like I will then do some editing, like video editing.
Well,
some
you've
other
got
tasks.
Filmmaking stuff to do. Yeah.
So, but whatever, I think you could easily transpose that to something else. And that works for me really well, because it actually keeps you moving, because you're using different bits of your mind.
Yeah.
Why I can't do the Jack Thorne method is it's just on one part of my brain, and it just sort of just wears me out too much. And then you end up in a kind of quite a downward depression thing, for me anyway, where it's just the same all the time. And then you start thinking, oh, I'm not really enjoying this.
Yeah.
That's a bad place to end up with, because then your work starts to suffer long term. So I don't know, that's my angle on it.
Well, as a full-time writer, pretty much, I mean, I can tell you my kind of routine, and I've changed my routine recently, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been going to the library over the last year.
Just to get out.
And that was a new thing, because I was getting, I mean, I'm 11 years working from home, but I'm more stir-crazy now than I ever have been before. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I've been making short films.
Yeah.
And so I know what it's like to kind of interact with people now, and I want that. But so I was going to the library.
It just sounds like someone that's been locked in a prison all his life, and now I've been allowed out.
Yeah.
Allowed out.
But I was quite happy. It never occurred to me, and now it's just like, God, I really want to get out.
Yeah.
But also, I you know, it started to affect me. I wasn't writing stuff. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. Mm. My productivity wasn't the same as before, and that was beginning to bother me. So I started going to the library just to get things done. But now I've even changed it further. so that even if I don't go to the library, I still get work done.
Mm.
And that means, and it will come as no surprise, turning off the internet.
Mm.
And just making sure you've got at least two hours of uninterrupted work.
Mm.
Because even as a full-time freelancer, if you say you're going to do 8 hours of writing a day, that means you're not going to take a phone call or receive an email, and you might miss an important phone call or an important email. So that's an important part of the day.
Yeah.
So what I found myself falling into recently is like working between 10 till 1 and getting that uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And getting pages done,
yeah,
which feels good. Your head,
Feels, that's just what I'm saying.
And then have a bit of lunch and check email and totter admin rubbish.
Yeah.
And then if all of that peters out and Facebook is rubbish and Twitter's boring or whatever, you go back to the pages again.
Yeah.
Or go to the cinema or watch something on TV. But you've done solid work.
Yeah.
So you don't need to feel guilty.
Pressure's off.
So even if you're doing, minimum 5 pages now, minimum.
Yeah.
And quite often I'm getting 10 pages.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
And you're moving on. So it's like, you know.
And you can do that. This is what I'm saying. Disagree, though. But you can do 5 to 10 in that time if you concentrate.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Rather than drag it out for the day and get 13 pages done, you're better off spending half the day and just knocking it out. All right, if you want to do a bit more, is what you're saying, then that's optional if you're feeling in the flow.
Well, if I get 10 pages done in an hour, or even 5 pages done in an hour, which, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but sometimes you might, if you know exactly what you're writing and in my flow, I might stop.
Yeah.
I might go, fine, that's cool.
Yeah.
And there are other things to be doing
in
terms of, because you know, writing doesn't always pay the bills.
No.
So
yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Just maintain focus. Yeah.
I think though, for just talk about people that because we know a lot of listeners listen on the commute, so they've maybe got another job.
Yeah.
So we're talking here about full time writers.
Well, yeah.
But we're kind of full time
freelancers.
We're not always doing writing. We're doing other bits and bobs. Johnny's got a part-time job that he's doing. People have got other things in their lives. And you need to.
Yeah.
And probably do need to.
Don't give up your day job yet.
Exactly. But I think there's still something. If you've got a good routine, you said 2 hours. I think, taking the pressure off some listeners, I think if you've got a good routine that gets you an hour every evening, I think that that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was a talk, but I can't for the life of me remember where. Could have been at the old Cheltenham Festival, I'm not sure. But it was someone talking about, or someone asked a question about getting back into writing after you've had a child. And this agent said that sometimes those kind of new mums are sometimes the most productive, because when they get 2 hours, they don't have crack on.
Yeah.
They're not twitting on the internet, Danny.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think if people have got an hour every night, if they can really knuckle down for that hour every night and not, because they've twatted around at work during the day or whatever, then actually they can still crack on. It's like you started this whole thing by saying it's finding the thing that works for your circumstances, not measuring against other people whose circumstances are different.
Mm.
It's finding what works for you. And if it isn't working for you, you don't beat yourself up over it. You just change it. You just go, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Let me do something different. Let me not kind of just spend all my writing time worrying that I'm not writing. You actually fix it and go, right, forget that an hour every evening. That's not working. Rather than getting all angry about it, just go, right, I'm doing Saturdays now. Maybe you're more like, maybe you prefer the full day, in which case, clear your Saturdays.
Saturday mornings are fantastic.
Do all your kind of social stuff in those evenings then, instead of sitting at home getting miserable for an hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, just fix it yourself.
I'll just say about turning off the internet, which sounds so easy to do and whatever, but because, you know, broadband is all pervasive now and might be on for your family, so you might be able to turn off the internet.
Right, true.
So there is an app for actually turning off the internet on your computer, which I bought recently because it's very cheap. It's called Mac Freedom, and it's $10.
Yeah.
And it works on PC as well.
Right.
And you just download it for $10, so it works out as $6 or something.
Yeah.
And you tell it how long you want to be off the internet for.
Yeah.
Up to 8 hours.
Yeah.
And it will disable internet access on your computer.
So it's like a child lock almost.
It's almost like, and it's amazing, because that way your wife or your kids can still, use the internet.
Yeah.
But you're blocked, and the only way to unblock it is to restart the computer.
Right.
And the guilt you feel when you have to do that is tremendous. So, yeah, so Mac Freedom, check that out.
And you have a biscuit.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, folks, don't forget, every computer normally has a little Wi-Fi switch that you can just knock off.
Yeah, airport
well.
Off or whatever. Airport but still, people don't have the willpower to do it.
Mm. Maybe it's just a good idea to take yourself out of the working environment, like the office. I used to, when I was writing outlines or something, I'd go to the coffee shop, just sit there and write, because I'd got no one to talk to or anything. Now, well, just sit and write it solidly.
But that's what I'm. This is what I mean by you find those things and you jump on them. Yeah. So that is like that's what Danny was finding. That's why he takes himself down the library. Yeah. I mean, he's got everything he needs at home, except for somehow there's something about the library. So it's almost like once you find something like that, you don't leave it to luck. You know, you do something with that information, that new insight into yourself, and go, right, I'm doing that from now on.
And also, procrastination can be good. Try and keep your procrastination proactive, I think, in some way, like reading a screenwriting article or learning about something new. Or doing a podcast. Because at least it's fun, or at least you're learning something, or at least it just kind of helps you rather than feeling a bit depressed or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea as well just to live rather than just wait for something to come to you when you're writing. Because if you go out somewhere, like you're walking around, you see someone doing something odd.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, a tramp talking to a bin. I saw one with a special brew. And I was like, he looks like he's having an interesting conversation. And I saw his with a bin. And I was like, that's brilliant. Perfect. Stuff like that.
That was me coming home.
That was me outside. That's where you found me. And then, I read this quote somewhere. It's something like, you can't write without living, and you can't live without writing, or something along that
line. Well,
lines.
If it wasn't that, that sounds good.
Yeah, otherwise, that's my quote that I just made myself.
Brilliant. Yeah. We'll portion that. Now, I say,
Let's wrap it up.
If you're listening to this and you're wishing it was carrying on longer, don't wish that. You should be writing.
That's right.
Stop procrastinating and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to go now and we're going to do some writing.
Yeah, even on your lunch break today, if you're on the train going to work this morning, on your lunch break today between 1 and 2, even if it's only a half an hour, you've got to do 2 pages.
Two pages. All right.
Even if it's a sketch, even if you've got no idea whatsoever, just do a sketch.
Yeah, great. Great. Do a comedy sketch.
Write it. Do it. And if you do, email us and we'll read it. So there's an incentive. I'll read it. Tim's looking at me going, I'm not reading it.
What, for 2 pages? Right. Whatever. Send it anyway. We'll work out what we do with it. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's amazing what people can do when they're actually kind of get a bit of motivation. Like the Red Planet Prize, as you say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if you're in an exam situation, you just get so much written in one go, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you just...
Uninterrupted.
Exactly.
Also, you've got nothing else to do. That's what it is. You can't go on Facebook on your phone or...
So get your clear pencil cases out, everyone, and we will see you next
month. Yeah, we'll do a one before Christmas.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll
sure. We're
going to
try and sneak one in.
We'll have a sneaky whiskey or something. And we'll
I
might come down for that one then.
No Johnny allowed on that one.
So Johnny's going to give us a special voiceover send-off, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because we started so well.
He's
got to
finish. Give us a see you
it
next
sounds
month.
Sounds like I need a Lemsip or something, the way I'm doing it.
Just get in close, in case,
say goodbye to everyone.
Yeah. You've been listening.
Yeah. What, like that?
Go on, then.
You guys. I don't know how to do it, but I'll just say, well, thanks to everyone for tuning in. It's been a pleasure being on this side of the microphone and not on the speakers. Now I know what happens here.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, the magic's ruined.
The magic's ruined. Yeah.
Have I ruined it?
Yeah, thanks forget you.
Rubbish.
Goodbye. Rubbish. Was that a rubbish?
Rubbish, Johnny.